Well, praise the Lord. It's an honor to be here tonight. And so it's good to see all of you here tonight. And we hope to be able to minister something that will be effective in your life, that will be what you need. Praise the Lord. And so one of the first things that we want to do as we get ready, how many of you are aware that the Holy Spirit is in the place? He is here. And what that means is that we ought to pay attention to him. Isn't that right? How many of you believe he knows more than you do? I believe he can do more than you can do. He can do more than all of us can do. Isn't that right? And he has more than all of us have. Isn't that right? So praise God for that. And I just want to encourage you tonight. As I just felt this nudging as I was preparing for this. Just to speak on healing. Hadn't spoken on that. Got to thinking. It doesn't seem like we've talked a lot about that in the church just the last while. And so what I'm going to do tonight is really just not going to tell you anything that you don't know. How many of you know that every house that you build, every house that's built, has a foundation? And houses around here, depending on where they're at and how the builder did it, sometimes with this clay soil, there's pressure put against that foundation, and it cracks. And so what you have to do is you call some people, and they come and they repair the foundation. You got things that needs to be fixed because there's drywall crack. There's different things that are happening there, and things are sagging. Things aren't like they were supposed to be, and repairs need to be made. But first thing we got to do is get that foundation back in order again and make sure that our foundation is firm and sure. And so I just felt this nudge tonight just to share some things with you. Really, I'm not going to share much except just the Word of God tonight, because that's really what we need. Isn't that right? And so I've entitled this tonight, A Foundation for Our Healing. A Foundation for Our Healing. But it is, I'm well aware that many of you have heard many times messages on healing. You know healing scriptures. You've got books on healing. You've got CDs on healing and all of that. And so I'm well aware that I'm not going to be sharing anything that you don't already have. But I'm going to share something with you that I believe that will help your foundation to be solid. Amen. Amen. And so one of the things I would encourage you, now let's just say, now, I'm not saying that you have this, but if you had a foundation problem in your house, you would call somebody, wouldn't you, to fix that? And when they came into your driveway, what would you do? You would be expecting them to do something. You expect something to happen. Isn't that right? You expect that foundation to be repaired, to be fixed. You expect the house is going to get better. You're going to have the cracks gone. You're going to have the floor's not sagging anymore. All of that. Isn't that right? And I believe that we ought to come in the same way into the service where we hear the Word of God. We ought to come with just at least as much expectancy toward God as a person would that's got a person coming to fix their foundation. Isn't that right? So let me just tell you this. I want to just reach down inside and just flip the switch. To expect. Turn it over to expect. Turn it clear over on full expectation. Everybody tell your neighbor, full expectation. And the thing that we got to do as we look at the Word is we got to mix our faith with it. Come on now. Isn't that right? And you know, how many of you know that healing, the Bible hadn't changed since it's been written? No, God has, I mean, many translations have come out and all of that. There's a, you know, revised version, and then there's a new revised version and all of that. We have all those translations, but you know, the essence of God's word has not changed. In other words, God did not speak out of heaven and say, change that verse to something else. I've changed my mind. He's not done that, has he? And so we know that healing has been in the word since it was written. Isn't that right? Healing's been in the word since it's written. But the thing is, until I mix faith with it, it will not profit me. Isn't that right? So I'm just stirring you up a little bit before we get going here tonight. I urge you to mix faith with the word. Now, what happens when you hear the word? Faith comes. So let me just tell you this. The faith that comes to you, mix it with the word to say, okay, I'm going to act on that. I believe that I can receive that. When you hear a scripture, you ought to make up your mind. I believe I can receive that. Isn't that right? So even as we're reading scriptures tonight, I've got, I don't know how many scriptures tonight on healing that I'm going to read to you. But as we're reading it tonight, you ought to be in full expectation. You don't have to wait somewhere. You don't have to wait until we have a line. You can expect it right where, as you hear the word and as you mix faith with it, you can expect that word to begin to operate in you. You can expect healing to happen in your seat tonight. You can expect healing to happen where you are as you hear the word. Amen. And so when we have a correct foundation of the word of God, then we can build our faith and exercise our faith and receive. So I'm going to give you three things about healing tonight. I'll tell you about them ahead of time, and then we'll look at scriptures corresponding with them. Number one, the provision for healing. Number two, the promises for healing. Number three, the possession of healing. The provision of healing, the promises of healing, and the possession of healing. And so the first one we want to look at is the provision for our healing. And I'll say it this way, by an irrevocable act, Jesus Christ provided healing as part of our redemption. In other words, he did it and he's not taking it back. It is absolutely cannot be changed anymore. He has done it. It is finished. Healing is there for you and I. And scriptures that would verify that would include Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals, say it with me, all your diseases. Come on now. See, that's a benefit of redemption. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. The Isaac Lesser translation in that verse 4 says this, but only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. Now I want you to notice something. As you're hearing that, if you're willing to believe what you hear from the word, don't have to believe me, believe the word. But as you're hearing it, faith ought to be there for you to receive whatever it says. That means if you read this hear this verse, and you've got pain in your body, you can expect it to go. Amen. Say, I believe pain is going in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, you need to be conscious of what it says here. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Say it with me. By his stripes we are healed. The Isaac Lesser translation says that last part, through his bruises was healing granted to us. Anybody ever the recipient of a grant? You know, that's a wonderful thing. It's not something you earn. It's something that's been granted to you, bestowed on you, something given to you. Let me tell you this. He has, through his bruises, healing was granted to you and to me. Amen. You go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. It says this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said this about himself, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So we know that God sent Jesus to bring us life, health, healing, wholeness, everything that we need to have life more abundantly. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, everybody say all, that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and I like to add, of sickness, poverty, and death. The law of sickness, poverty, and death, a curse that was, you know. And it says, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So we've been redeemed. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Say it with me. We were healed. Say it again. We were healed. We were healed. Amen. Amen. You ought to just raise your hand right now and say, I consider myself healed. I consider myself healed. I consider myself healed. Since Jesus did it, I consider myself healed. Amen? And so you have seven scriptures right there that I gave you just on the provision for healing of what Jesus did, describing it. There's probably more. Matter of fact, of all the scriptures I'm going to read to you tonight, there are a lot more scriptures on healing. I didn't put all of them in here because we'd be here for quite a while. See, healing is not just a minor doctrine in the Bible. It's one of the major doctrines. Amen? And so now let's go to the promise for our healing. The promise or the promises for our healing. You see, his unchanging word states that healing is irrevocably promised to us. Amen. Can't be changed. He promised it. He's not taking it back. You say, where's it at? Well, let's begin in the book of Genesis. The very first place healing was ever mentioned is Abraham. Abraham, Genesis 20 and 17 says this, so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants, and then they bore children. Do you ever stop and think about that? The first place healing was mentioned in the Bible, it was somebody that wasn't even in covenant with God that got healed. But it was because of somebody that was in covenant with God. Amen? So Abraham prayed and God answered it. That's how simple it is. In the Mosaic Covenant, we read this in Exodus 15:26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I, say it with me, I am the Lord who heals you. I am. He didn't say I was the Lord that healed them. He didn't say that. He didn't say, "I am the Lord who I'm the Lord who will heal you." He doesn't say that. It says, I like it because it says, "I am." It means he doesn't change. It's the "I am" that I am. If he was once a healer, he's always a healer. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. He says here, "For I am the Lord who heals you." If he healed once, he'll do it again. Amen. If he had, if healing was available once, it's available now. Isn't that right? And then Exodus 23, 25, and 26 says this, "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days." Come on now. What did he say first? "And you shall serve the Lord your God." Somebody in this place, I got it over here while we were worshiping God. And I know God wants to help you when I say this, okay? So don't take it the wrong way. But somebody in this place has got to make some adjustments about serving God. Because then some things will kind of start flowing in your life, including healing. I got that right there a while ago. And so just where you are. See, the Lord didn't tell me to come to you. He just told me to say it. And so right where you are, you can just make that adjustment and say, "I'm going to serve the Lord my God." And that opens the door for that healing to flow just like it needs to in your life, just like God wants to. Amen. And I hear this and says, "Oh yeah, you've been doing some things for the Lord, but you hadn't been very willing. You've grumbled about some of these things. And so you need to change some of the things, attitudes and things, the way you've gone at it." That's the major part of it. Amen. And so as you do that, listen, the promise of God is yours. He will bless your bread and your water, and he'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Glory to God. Ooh, just opens the floodgates of heaven. He said, "Brother, yeah, but I don't understand why I have to do what God said." It's not for us to understand when he says it. It's not for us to figure it out. It's for us to obey and be willing to do it. See, "I don't understand how he's going to do it." Hey, listen, follow him. Follow him. And you'll find that all these other things will flow into your life freely. Amen. So let's go on. The prophets of old proclaimed healing and requested it from the Lord. Here they go. Psalms 30 and verse 2. "Oh Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me." That's the testimony of the psalmist. Psalms 107 verse 20. He said this, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Glory to God. Somebody ought to be receiving right now. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." You know, listening to the word is just like taking medicine. That is what it'll do. That's the effect it has on your life and our bodies. It's like medicine. It goes in, penetrates in, and it does the job. Glory to God. How many of you know God never misdiagnoses anything? Never makes a mistake on his prescriptions or anything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No side effects either. Hallelujah. Isaiah 58:8. Isaiah said this, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning." I like this. "Your healing shall spring forth speedily." Hey, sounds to me like God's in a hurry to do some things for us. Isn't that right? "And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." Amen. Jeremiah 17:14, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Somebody ought to start praising God. Just start praising God. Because that's how salvation and healing flows. Glory to God. Somebody ought to just praise the Lord. Say, lift your hands up and praise the Lord. Just take a praise break right now. We ought to praise Him. We ought to praise the healer. Praise the Savior. Praise Him. For He has healed us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jeremiah 30 and 17, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast and saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. But I want to tell you something, God has not turned His back on you. Come on now, God has not turned His back on you, as some would suppose. It's amazing what people's opinions when problems come up. Well, you know, there may be some problems there. Kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. I'm no man's judge. I said I'm no man's judge. God knows. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so we do not judge people, but we endeavor to help people. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Glory to God. That means he can bring it to wherever he needs to. Just flow, just he can deliver it where it needs to be. Beams of healing flow out from him. Where does it go? To us who are willing to receive it. Amen. And then he goes on and says, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Now, if you're not from the farm, that phrase is a mystery. You've never seen a calf fed in the stall, and then the day that the door opens and you turn it out into the pasture and it takes off and goes out into a new dimension of living, into new freedom, into a new way of new provision, into a life it never knew. Let me tell you something. That's what God does when the beams of healing flow from Him into those who receive. He is treating you like a stall-fed calf. He is infusing you with everything, the healing that you need, and you're going to be released like a calf going out into the pasture for the first time, into a new life, into a new dimension of living. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, it's a new day. Amen. And I always get encouraged. I tell people, if you want to know what God will do, just read the Gospels and see what Jesus did. Because Jesus is a picture of God. And what did He do in response to people who were sick and needed healing? Well, let's look. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and He healed them. He didn't say He just healed some of them. It says He healed them. Them would include all those who came. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 12, 15. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew from there. He's talking about some difficulties there that he was aware of. He withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. Even when He withdrew Himself and they came anyway, you know, how many of you ever withdrawn, wanted to be alone, but somebody didn't leave you alone? Jesus healed them anyway. That's how willing Jesus is to heal people, even when He didn't feel like it. Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. Then great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, the blind, mute, maimed, and many others. They laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. He didn't heal. He didn't say, well, I'm only healing the blind today. Well, that would be something. But he didn't stop there. He healed all of them that were brought to him. And then Matthew chapter 19, verse 2, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Matthew chapter 21, verse 14, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. As you look through the Gospels, now I did not read about the Roman centurion. I didn't read about the woman with the issue of blood. I didn't read about Simon's mother-in-law or Peter's mother-in-law. I didn't read about the blind men. I didn't read about the one with the man with the withered hand or the paralyzed man or any of the others. But Jesus, there's I believe at least 19 different incidents of individuals being healed. Amen. The Syrophoenician woman's daughter was healed and delivered, depending upon what translation you would read. Says he was either healed, I think both, and so from everything. And so we need to recognize that Jesus pictured gave us a picture of what God would do if he was here himself, which he is here. The Apostle John stated that it's God's will for healing, for us to be healed. He said, beloved, in 3 John 2, he said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The problem is that sometimes our souls don't prosper very well. What does that mean? We don't get the word put in. We're thinking other thoughts. We're worried that our prescription will run out. We're worried about this. We're worried about that. And we're trying. You know, let me tell you something. You need to get your mind on the word.
That's
right. Why? So healing can flow.
Amen.
Because if you spend enough time thinking about the wrong thing, you'll block the right thing that God wants to bring into your life. Because you'll just sabotage it. If you think about the wrong thing too long, just smile at everybody and say, I know that's true. I know that's true. Amen. Now look, having read all of those scriptures, let me tell you something. We've got witness after witness after witness of healing being available to us. The prophets of old spoke it. The patriarchs of old believed that it should happen. Jesus himself came and said it should happen. The disciples said it should happen. The apostles in the early church ministered it to people. And we don't even have time to go into what the early church did with healing, but they operated in it. But that brings me to this last one, and that is this, that the possession of our healing. All of what we've said so far is very true. Nobody can change that. It's there forever. Okay? And so the possession of our healing, that is, healing can be ours through an entirely feasible act of having faith in God and his word. It's feasible. Look at somebody and say it's possible. Now look at somebody else. I know you've been waiting for the chance. Just tell them even you can do it. Amen. Amen. Listen to this. One of the first things that God tells us to do in the New Testament, I'm strictly in the New Testament on this because we're living in New Testament times. But let me just tell you, it's really not much different than what the Old Testament tells us to do. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, it says, ask. Say it with me, ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. You need to make up your mind that when you ask, you're receiving. No maybe about it. Amen? Glory to God. It's just like the word says. Amen. Come on now. Don't look around for any reasons why not. Don't look for any excuses. No, put those aside and say, it'll be like the word says to me. Isn't that right? Come on now. It's like the Word says. That's what's going to happen in my life. Somebody asks you, what's going to happen with you? Whatever the Word says. The Word says, ask and it will be given to you. The Word says, everyone who asks receives. I'm included in everyone. Isn't that right? And he says this, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? No one. We're better parents than that. Isn't that right? Even when we weren't saved, we did better than that. Isn't that right? We had more sense than that. And he says this in verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Isn't that right? See, we got to get a hold of God's goodness and his willingness. Whatever the best that we would want to do for our children, God is willing and able to do far better. Much more. The best daddy you've ever seen in your life here on earth is no comparison to God, your heavenly Father. Amen. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Let me tell you something. You need to speak to that sickness and disease. Tell it to go. Get out of here. And if it helps you a little bit, give it a little kick. You know what I'm saying? So you just need to tell that stuff to get on out of here. Amen. Amen. And then in Mark 11, 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So change your believing to believe you have received. Don't sit there hoping you'll get it someday. No, change it over to, this is foundational repair right here. Sometimes we get over into future tense. Let's get back into present tense. If you prayed and believed, then you believe you received when you prayed. Isn't that right? Because if you're waiting to believe when it happens, then you don't really need to believe anymore. Because now you got it. Isn't that right? So anyway, I'm just telling you, sometimes these are the adjustments that we make when it comes to foundational repair. Let me tell you, one of the first things I look for when faith doesn't work for me is, did I slip over into future tense? Or am I declaring it as that which is not yet, as if it was, according to the Word? You see what I'm saying? So now let's go on. We're close to the end of what I choose to read today. John 14, verse 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing, but most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In other words, Jesus wasn't going to be on the earth anymore. They weren't going to be able to come to him personally. He said, ask the Father in my name. It'll be just like coming to me, he said. And then he goes on and says, until now you have asked nothing in my name, ask. And you will receive that your joy may be full. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 tells us to lay hands on the sick and they believing that they shall recover. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. Bring your hands out in front of you like that and look at them. Now tell yourself, these are no ordinary hands. These hands can bring healing to people. Based on Mark 16, verse 18. These hands are empowered by God to bring healing to people. When I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Hallelujah. Now somebody ought to praise the Lord just a little bit. Amen. James chapter 5 verse 14 through 16. Is any among you sick? Let him ask for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So here it is in a capsule. Jesus came to provide healing for us as well as salvation. God has given us his word showing that healing is promised to us. And by that, we have the means to possess healing. Because when we hear the word, what happens to us? Faith comes. That is what's necessary to possess the healing. So say it with me. Healing is provided for me. Healing is promised to me. Now I can possess my healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. I don't know where you're at with everything. I don't know what's been happening with you. But I believe this, that you being in the presence of the word of healing that's gone forth tonight, that if you'll receive that word that's been spoken, let me tell you something, there's healing happening in your body right now. Amen. Some of you should be able to detect a difference already because you've been sitting in the Word for over 30 minutes. Amen. 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 Some of you ought to be checking yourself saying, hey, look at this. Hallelujah. It should. See, we ought to expect things to happen when we hear the Word. Amen. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands up and thank God for his healing power. It is present in this place because the word has been spoken and we're here. The Holy Spirit is here. We know that healing power is here in the name of Jesus. And we thank God for that in Jesus' name. We declare it one more time. I am receiving my healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You received the good word tonight? Yes. Amen. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're glad that you are receiving from God. And let me tell you something. Don't just take this home with you. You're a recipient, but you're also a vessel. What you received is what you can give to somebody else. Amen. Just remember, you don't have ordinary hands. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. First-time guests, if the connection team is coming to you right now, and they're going to take you to the West Lobby and give you a wonderful gift. Let's give them a great big hand for being here tonight with us. And we certainly thank you and welcome you to come back, especially... don't forget our candle, or Carol's candlelight and communion service coming up this Sunday, starting at 10 o'clock. It'll probably be an hour and 15 minutes at the most, Pastor said. And so it'll be a tremendous time. And so it's just a wonderful time to celebrate our Savior. Praise the Lord. It'll be great. Amen. No service on Sunday night. That Sunday night, amen, so you get to go start celebrating Christmas, all of that, you know, the good stuff and everything after that with family and friends and all of that, so praise the Lord. And so men are over here to pray with you if you need something. Men, go over here, and the ladies, come over here to these ladies. These ladies are right here ready to pray with you ladies for anything that you might need. Shake hands with somebody and let them know, I appreciate you. And then shake hands with somebody else and tell them, I believe you're healed in Jesus' name. Amen.